In the gospel reading today, we hear this cry at midnight that the bridegroom is coming. And the virgins were to rouse themselves and be prepared to go into the wedding feast. We have to remember in a Jewish wedding that they took 7 days. So it's not like what we think of, well, we had to go to church and we got married and then we had the reception afterward. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the bride and the bridegroom have arrived. Now the whole event is going to begin and it's going to unfold over the course of a week. And the wedding is somewhere in the midst of that. And even that wasn't even a formal kind of thing as we think of it. So it's a very different kind of situation. But the reality is, and as we heard even in the communion antiphon, the church changed it slightly to be able to say, go out and meet the bridegroom, Christ the Lord. And that's exactly what St. Paul tells us in the first reading today. He said, I betrothed you to one spouse that I might present you a chaste virgin to Christ. So each one of us being baptized into Christ is a member of our Lord. In that way, he has become the spouse of our souls. And what happens when two people get married? If they're in a sacramental marriage, their souls are united. What happened on the day that you were baptized? You were united with Christ. You entered into the Lord, he into you. The two became one in that sense. Different from what a bridegroom and a bride have that unity, but nonetheless, the covenant of holy matrimony builds upon the covenant of holy baptism. And so that's the foundation for everything, is our baptism. And we recognize that it is in that that we have been united to the Lord. And those who are called to the religious life, for instance, who consecrate themselves to the Lord, the nuns over the years have recognized themselves in a particular way to be brides of Christ. And indeed they are. They're already a bride of Christ through their baptism. Now with this new consecration, they have become brides of Christ in a deeper sense. But it is actually the consecrated virgin who is the bride of Christ in the fullness of that. Because she is consecrated, not herself, but the Lord has consecrated her to himself. And so there is a deeper union that is there. But once again, building upon that same unity that is there from baptism. So each one of us, whether we're male or female, doesn't matter. Remember, St. Paul says, in Christ there is no more male or female, no Jew or Greek, no slave or free. All are one in Christ. All of us, male or female, make up the bride of Christ. When we get to heaven, assuming that we get to heaven, we will all be united with our Lord as a spouse. All of us, once again, members of the bride. So obviously this is an easier concept for a woman to be able to grasp than it is for a man. But the concept is there. It is a union. Not obviously you have to forego what we might think about on a marriage on a natural level, but it's a spiritual union. Jesus is the bridegroom of our souls. That is already happening. That's what happened when you just received Holy Communion a couple of minutes ago. That's the celebration of your baptism. You are united with the Lord. Basically, when I talk to the couples preparing for marriage, tell them that's the Eucharist and marriage are the two closest sacraments symbolically, because it's all the same. The two become one. It's a total self-giving and a total receiving of the other. That's what's already happened in baptism. That's why it's being celebrated in the Holy Eucharist, because the reality is already there. Why we also have to be in the state of sanctifying grace to be able to receive Holy Communion, because we need to be united with Jesus before we can celebrate that union. But the union ultimately is present because of our baptism. That's a union that cannot be broken. We can choose against it. Thankfully, he will not. He is faithful even when we are unfaithful. But if we have willfully chosen to separate ourselves from him, he's not going to force us to do anything. We have a free will. We can say, I don't want to be a part of you. And with sadness, he will allow us to go. But with great joy, he will receive us back. And that is the great hope for all of us. How many times we have said no to him, and how many times he has received us back again. But it puts things in a context for us when we can look at it this way. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. We can think about what happens early on in a couple's marriage and how excited they are when their young spouse is coming home. And then we think after 25 or 30 years of marriage, maybe they're not so excited when their spouse comes home anymore. In fact, maybe they're not even looking forward to it at all. They dread the fact that their spouse is home. What a tragedy. How many people have fallen exactly into that with our Lord? I think about the little ones who come up to the communion rail with their parents, and they start crying on the way as they go away because they wanted to receive Jesus. I want one. They don't understand what it is, but they know that this is something that they want. How much do we? We have the bridegroom of our soul who is giving himself to us. How many of us dread the idea? Do I have to go to Mass again? How many of us are really looking forward to being united with him? Or how many of us just go through the motions because we've just gotten used to it after all the years? We've settled into the way that it is, and we don't really want anything different. We need to look back at the early part of the marriage and the joy and the excitement to know that the bridegroom was coming. He is home. He is coming to my soul. And I should be filled with joy. And I should be filled with love, wanting to give myself to him as he is giving himself to me. This is all so beautiful and so profound, and something to ponder for couples who are called to the beautiful sacrament of holy matrimony. You need to ponder this with regard to your marriage. What is your disposition toward your spouse? Because it should be the same disposition that Jesus has toward you. And it should be the same disposition that you should have toward Jesus. Tragically, in some marriages, that's what it is. We don't seem to care about Holy Communion, and we don't seem to care about our spouse. We need to get that turned around. You made a vow to love this person, and that's supposed to be one that grows every day. But the only way that the love for your spouse is going to grow every day is if your love for Jesus grows every day. So he has already called you. He has already chosen you. Think about that. Think about the joy of the average woman on the day that this man proposes. She probably had a pretty good idea for a long time that this was coming and was wondering how long it was going to wait. And yet at the same time, the great joy when that proposition comes. Someone has chosen me. Someone loves me so much. This person wants to give himself entirely to me, and he wants to receive my gift to him. Someone has chosen you. It is the Lord. He wants to give himself entirely to you, and he wants to receive your gift of self entirely to himself. The question now is, do we want to receive him? Do we want to give ourselves to him? Are we filled with joy at the idea that this privilege is being given to us, that we have this opportunity? As profound as that is on a human level, to stop to think that this is God who is doing this. God has chosen you for himself. God has called you to himself. God wants you for himself. His choice will not change. Our choice is the one that needs to be looked at. Because, number one, it can change. We have that free will, as I mentioned. Number two, we can just let it wane or go through the motions. That's not what he does. He doesn't go through any motions at Mass. He doesn't go through any motions when he gives himself to you in Holy Communion. It is a pure and absolute gift of charity. And that is what he is asking in return, that you would give yourself to him as he gives himself to you, that you would have the same disposition toward him that he has toward you. That's the spousal relationship that is there. So when you think of coming to Mass, ask yourself, what really is going on inside? Is there a joy? Is there a longing? Is there a desire to be united with him? Because I can guarantee you, coming from his side, that's exactly what he's looking at with you. Overjoyed that you have made the choice to come here. A longing to be more deeply and profoundly united with you. The desire to give himself entirely to you again, or still, as the case is with him, but wanting for us to do that in return. So open your heart, receive the gift that is being given, and then ponder deeply what he has done. Pray for the grace to conform your heart to his, so that your disposition will be the same as his, and that as he gives himself to you, so you will give yourself to him.